time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hey, Earn Your Spurs listeners. Welcome to episode number 17 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I am your host, Alyssa Barnes. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Scott Haynes, the author and illustrator of the Rhody the Ranch Dog children's book series. I had a chance to meet Scott in Billings at the Nile when I was there a few months ago, and I thought he was a great guy, and I loved his book, and I actually bought one for my little niece. So if you have kids on your Christmas list that you're looking for a really neat gift for, definitely check out Rhody the Ranch Dog on Amazon. You can pick those up there, and I'll have a link in the show notes at earnyourspurs.com/episode17 if you want to check that out there. I recorded this episode before going to the NFR, so next week will be my first post-NFR episode, and I'll give a full recap then. Now let's go ahead and jump into my interview with Rhody the Ranch Dog creator, Scott Haynes. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you today. And I just want to start off by kind of finding out about how you grew up. I know you grew up on a ranch in Montana, and I'm curious to know kind of what your experiences were there.
Okay. Yeah, we had a farm and ranch, northeast Montana and north of a little town called Saco. Our place was right on the Milk River there. And yeah, Saco's about 400 people. Might be a little less now. When we were there, it was about 400. Pretty small community, ranching, farming community, natural gas. Yeah, 40 kids in high school. we didn't have football. We had basketball and track. So,
yeah,
pretty small. So, yeah, everybody, you know, all my friends, they all farmed, you know, and had a few cows and vice versa. So good community to grow up in. And I had a, you know, really good childhood there. So no complaints.
What did you guys grow on your farm?
Wheat and barley.
Wheat.
And wheat. Yeah, put up our own alfalfa hay.
And you must have raised some cattle too.
Yeah, we did. Yep. Yep. We started out with Herefords, like a lot of people did in the old days, and then switched over to Angus. So
is the ranch still in your family?
It's not. My parents, we got out of it probably in the late 80s, early 90s, and we weren't able to continue that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But all through high school and everything, that's what I did for work. You know, I helped out other ranches and helped people farm and that sort of thing. So I that's all I did for work, you know, for growing up when I was a kid to through high school and even after high school until I'd moved to Billings, probably 2 years after I graduated high school. So I worked for a large animal vet in Glasgow upon graduation. So that was an experience. That was a good time.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. The ranch now is, my uncle is still up there, and his wife and her family kind of run that. They kind of bought everything now, so that's all theirs. But I guess still technically it is in the family, but just not my immediate.
Yeah.
But at least somebody's taking care of it, and it looks great. You know, I've been home a few times, and everything looks good.
Well, yeah, it's nice that at least somebody in your family is still running it. It hasn't turned into like a subdivision or something.
Yeah, right. And you know, if we go up there and we're nostalgic, we can go trespass all over the place and they don't mind. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice. Hunt some birds. So
you must have had a few cow dogs growing up on the ranch up there.
Yeah, we had a couple. Yeah, yeah. We had a few. We had a dingo, blue collar, blue cross, blue heeler is the word I'm trying to say. Mixes. And a lot of mutts. We basically, we love mutts the most. So they seem to be the best dogs.
Yeah. Well, I could tell that reading your book. You did mention that. I haven't read the first one yet. I've only read the second one in the series.
Okay.
But you did you mentioned in there that that mutts make the best cow dogs. So you must have had a few.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
yeah.
Of course, the argument can go on and on, but I don't know. I found mutts and crosses were the best.
So I know, like, there's some ranches out there that don't believe in using dogs. Obviously, you know, your family did not share that philosophy, and mine doesn't either. We've always had dogs, but I'm just, you know, what was the most useful part of having dogs on the ranch? I mean, did you feel like they were sort of an indispensable part of ranching?
Yeah, I think so. Depending on what you're using them for, it's just as far as having a buddy all the time.
Mm.
A lot of times it's just you. You know, a lot of times it'd be my dad, you know, doing chores or moving cows by himself if we were at school and, you know, and mom was doing something else or at work or, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. They can be in the way a lot of times. They can be in the way a lot of times, but a lot of times they're a lot of help. So it's a 50-50 thing. A lot of guys, I mean, I noticed a lot of people are like their dogs really mean and aggressive and never understood that besides, you know, getting cows to where they want them to. But we were always pretty easy on our dogs. Spoiled, I think, is the word.
Yeah.
But it's nice. As far as just they're your pal. They go to town with you and they're always right there. So I've always had a fondness for them. I got two older brothers and they're 4 and 5 years older than me. So, you know, they got into their teenage years. They really didn't want a lot to do with me. So it was just me and the dog, you know?
Yeah.
So he's kind of my buddy. So I got a pretty soft heart for dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so. I remember when we were kids, my brother had our dog followed him everywhere when he was a little kid. Uh-huh. You know, my mom would just have to look out the window for the dog and she'd find him too.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It seems like blue heelers, especially they pick one person out of the family and that was our dad. And so blue heelers aren't really known for their lovingness. They're kind of moody, but still our buddy. So if dad wasn't around, he'd let you hang out with him, but.
Yeah, that's kind of how it always was in our family too. The dog was always my dad's dog.
Sure.
And that's the way it should be. You know, they've got to have one master, I guess, to go to. But so then after you kind of grew up working on ranches and then you went to work for a vet hospital. You probably got a lot more exposure to dogs there too, huh?
Yeah. Again, good and bad. We'd be preg testing cows, let's say, you know, and on the Canadian border, north of Opheim, and it'd be 30 below and winds blowing and you got these dogs running these cows in these chutes, which is great. But a lot of times that can be a bad deal because these dogs would get after these cows and these cows get all riled up. And then once they get into the chute and then they're all wound up and they're hard to doctor. So like I said, it can be a little of both. And sometimes they just need to go sit in the pickup.
and
hang out under the pickup or whatever, just stay out of the way a lot of times.
Right.
But they are definitely can be an asset, you know. I mean, you can send off a couple good cow dogs to go bring your cows in and you don't even have to lift a finger, you know.
Yeah.
You send them out and here they come with a whole herd of cows. So like I said, a good one is, I mean, they're pretty tough to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember as a kid, we had one really good dog, and of course, she ended up getting run over because the good dogs always do.
Sure.
But my dad used to be able to stand on the front porch of our house and send her out into the pasture to bring the milk cow in at night so he could, you know, put the calves on her, milk her, whatever. And she was a pretty, pretty cool dog.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's definitely.
It's amazing how intelligent they can be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes the most important thing they can know how to do is to get out of the way. Like you said, you need to be able to have a good stop on them.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Because they are, especially border collies and heelers and all those cattle bred dogs, they have such a strong natural instinct to work cows, and
sure,
it's not always in the right manner.
Yeah, they just want to herd stuff,
Yeah. So I think, you know, there are some great cow dog trainers out there that can really harness that and sort of get some control on a good dog. And that's seems like it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, you bet. Saves a guy a lot of work, seems like.
Yeah. I just know that my dad was never like the greatest dog trainer.
Seems
like he did a lot of yelling.
Well, like I said, we spoiled ours pretty good. So they, they weren't overly, they were the best in the world, but they were the best to us, you know?
Yeah, right. They were the best you had.
Right.
Anyway.
That's right.
So Scott, how did you kind of come up with the idea to start the Roadie series?
I've always been interested in cartooning. And so of course my interests were, I love Western art, but I love cartooning. Mm-hmm. So I love to put them both together. And, Ace Reed is one of my heroes out of Texas. He's passed away now, but I mean, you didn't go into any feed store or anybody's house without having a rant or a Ace Reed cartoon on your fridge. You know, so I mean, he's just that guy's a king. So anyway, I loved Ace Reed and I always wanted to do something like that, but I didn't want to be Ace Reed.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to copy Ace Reed. And there's a few out there like that, and that's fine. But I mean, it's quite an homage, but I always wanted to do my own thing, and Western cartooning was what I wanted to do. So, but submitted a bunch of stuff to, let's see, when this is about 2000, I submitted a bunch of stuff to Leaning Tree greeting cards in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And they bought five of my cartoons right off the bat. So, and that was really exciting. And so I had five cards with them at one time. And then they, you know, I was a contract artist for them. So that was a big, big deal for me personally. I mean, I love Leaning Tree and all that stuff. And they always, a lot of cartoon heroes of mine were always with Leaning Tree as well. Like your mm-hmm. Mike Scoville and Ben Crane and a lot of those guys that you've seen their cards forever. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a part of that group, and that was almost a pinnacle for me. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world, and it still is. But So I did that for a while, and then when I moved here to Wyoming, my wife is a kindergarten teacher, and we were talking about art in school, and they were talking about getting rid of the art program here. And in Seiko, I know they were talking about the same thing. And then I was doing a little research. A lot of these smaller schools are doing away with their art program. And I, you know, that was like one of my favorite subjects in school, art and PE. So, other than that, I wouldn't have bothered going. No. So I wanted to do something that rural kids, and not even rural kids, but just kids in general, would look at my books and say, oh, well, he drew these too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because art's really important to me. And I think it's important. It's in the creativity of kids in general, just mm-hmm. being creative, whether it be writing or drawing or painting or singing or whatever you want to do. You need that escape, I think. It can't all be work, you know?
Right.
So I want to do these books and hopefully that gets kids more interested in art, and maybe these schools will look at it and say, well, maybe we should figure something else out and keep this art thing around, maybe. So
yeah, I think that's pretty common for kids to like art and PE.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Well, because I think kids are creative, you know, and they, you know, who wants to sit in math class all day?
I know.
Want to be able to do something that sort of uses the other opposite side of your brain.
Well, now that I'm older, I wish I'd paid more attention in math, but I do a lot of counting on my fingers, but that's okay.
Yeah. And well, how did you get into actually drawing? I mean, did that sort of just come naturally to you, or did you learn that?
Yeah. You know, like I said, with the Ace Reed cartoons, of course you see what you like, so you want to imitate it. Mm-hmm. And so I do my own cowboys and my own cows and, you know, and drew what I knew and what I grew up with and the way I wanted to draw them, because I also loved comic strips when I was younger. It was, you know, it was The Far Side and it was Calvin and Hobbes. And I loved Calvin and Hobbes. I just thought the art was amazing. And I wanted to do stuff like that to where kids would look at it and go, man, I wanted to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like those styles and I like the humor but I also like Charlie Russell. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to mash them both up. And so I always like to draw, and I draw my friends in class, and then, you know, I'm doing weird things and, you know, you know, and stuff we probably can't talk about, and that always made him laugh. And I've always loved drawing. So it's mm-hmm. just something I always did. And it was kind of a stress breaker for me, or, you know, if I was bored, that's, you know, sketch on whatever I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was also kind of I was a farm kid, but I really liked, as a kid, I really liked comic books, and I liked mm-hmm. the Hulk, and I liked Spider-Man, and I liked Batman, and I liked them all, you know? So I draw those too. And so all that stuff, just art and cartooning, always really interested me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And did you write the stories as well?
Yeah, I did. Yep. Yeah, I did. I wanted to have, I'm kind of selfish, so I wanted to have all the control over these books.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of finding a good writer and having to pay them, and then just, and then I just illustrating it, I kind of wanted to say, this whole book is my fault. So if you got mm-hmm. you know, if you have any issue with it, it's me. Or if you love it, it's me. So,
yeah, exactly. But,
yeah, so I kind of wrote everything and I did write everything. And then, drew it up.
So which came first?
Yeah. See, that's kind of the thing. It's sometimes I'll have an idea of what I want my page to be, or I'll have the whole story and then I'll go draw. Or I could be sketching something, not even working on the book. And then I'll come up with a page for the book and then I'll write to what I just drew. So it's a little of both. Mm-hmm. I've found, you know, it's not necessarily I write out a script and then I draw, or I draw and then I write the script to that. It's both for me. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, you never know. The books change. I mean, they change before I'm done with them, from what I thought it was going to be in the story I wanted to something I think is way better that happened during the making of. So it's always something different.
What do you do for your main job down there in Wyoming?
I work at a refinery, oil refinery.
So these books are sort of a creative outlet for you.
Yeah, they are. And these books are something I would do in the morning before I went to work. And it'd be something I'd do in the evening. And they'd be mm-hmm. something I'd work on, you know, on the weekends when I could.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, I wrote both of these and drew both of these and colored them and everything all on when I could. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like this is my full-time job, which would be
right.
Great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go to a refinery every day and work there and come home and do the dad and husband thing and then try to get some books done.
And you have two books in the series so far?
Yep. Yep. I believe you have the second one. You get picked up the second one
at
the Nile? Yeah.
Yep.
And so I got to send you that first one. I finally got my second printing of the first one back. So that's pretty exciting.
You were all sold out when I got to your table.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to send you one. And, but yeah, just the two. I wrote the first one last year, almost exactly to the day that I finished the second one. So, yes. And working on a third and, hopefully an ABC's book, I think. So
cool.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, keep on going.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't know how many books are going to be in the series.
No idea. You know, as long as if people keep buying them, I'll keep doing them, I guess.
Yeah.
Or not. Maybe I'll just make it for myself. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe move on to a different animal or something.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Like you were asking before, what really piqued my interest is, like, when I was a kid, like I said, I liked comic books, but I loved Ace Reed and I loved Charlie Russell. You know, so those are three very different things. There were never really any books in my school library or kids' books that I, you know, got that really spoke to me as a rural kid. I mean, there's mm-hmm. great books out there as far as like Hank the Cow Dog, which are great they're an awesome series, and they're much more wordy than I am. So I always want to focus on the art end of the spectrum, because that's what I enjoy, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to see, was more cartoony with a rural cowboy feel, you know? So I'll leave all the writing and stuff to John R. Erickson, I think, writes those, doesn't he? Hank Cowdog? I think so. Anyway, but yeah, he's like a real writer. So I wanted to do the books that I wish I had when I was younger.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm doing. So
yeah, and hopefully they'll kind of appeal to the non-rural kids too, and give them a little bit of a taste of what it's like on the ranch too.
Yeah, in that book too, I kind of want to do maybe not a history of the cow dog, but the everyday things. All I mean, they may be a little silly, but maybe it'll get those kids asking questions. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll do, you know, that'll get them interested. Maybe they'll do some research and what's a soybean, or, you know, what are they moving cows for? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just maybe get kids interested that normally wouldn't be exposed to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about dogs. Anyway, dogs was an easy subject for me, because everybody loves a dog, I think.
Right.
You know, and, you know, even kids that aren't rural, quote unquote, I'm sure they have a dog, you know, big, mm-hmm. small, whatever. And I'm sure they love it. You know, that's their buddy.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody will get them the book, and they'll interest them in ag, or, you know, or whatever, or farming or whatever.
Yeah. It's a dog is like something that's universally relatable for most people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may not understand bovine behavior, but sure. The dog, you know.
right.
So. Dog makes sense. So do you have plans for future projects coming up that you haven't started on yet?
Just book three, working on book three, sketching it out, getting it, trying to get it dialed in. I'm just kind of in the sketching phase right now. So that's been a lot of fun. As far as, like I said, an ABC's book, I'd really like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as that, maybe try to hit some trade shows this winter and get the book out there, and keep my day job. So, try to hang on to it and juggle both.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Keep on moving forward with everything.
Do you still do some art for Lean and Tree, or is there other stuff we can find of Scott Haynes' work out there?
Yeah. I just submitted a bunch of stuff to Leaning Tree, and I haven't heard back from him, which is fine. I'm okay with that. It's not a sore subject, really, but I'm saying I'm okay with it. It's been a few months now, and I haven't heard from him, but I sent him quite a few cartoons, and that's okay. I mean, they're busy. They get lots of submissions. But other than that, I really haven't been doing anything, besides roadie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if those, cards are still printed. I thought I saw one the other day, but there might be two of the better sellers that they're still printing mm-hmm. through Lineage.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is back in 2000. So they rotate their stock pretty well, and they got such great artists working for them anyway. So, I mean, mm-hmm. and I'm sure those guys are all submitting work. And so if you don't make the cut, sometimes you don't make the cut, which is all right. You resubmit next year and you just keep on trucking.
Yep. That's all you can do.
But
what has been the response thus far to the roadie book? Have you had it pretty good?
Pretty positive.
Yeah.
As far as I know, if they weren't, I haven't heard about it. You know, kids love the artwork. The rhyming was something that my wife suggested she's a kindergarten teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice for the kids to see that these two words that don't look alike can rhyme. Mm-hmm. And that really helps with their reading development. So kids are reading them, and folks are glad that they buy these kids these books, and they read them three times a night before they go to bed or whatever, mm-hmm. or they're just drawing stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that they weren't really interested in before. And they're just all of a sudden, my kid's reading, my kid's drawing. And if they think it's because of my books, then great, I'll keep doing it.
Well, that's awesome, because, you know, so many kids are aren't reading and aren't drawing, they're playing video games.
Sure.
And you know, that's huge for parents to be able to find something that gets their kids interested in anything other than playing on the computer or whatever.
Or on the Kindle or something.
Mm, yeah. I know that one all too well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, if kids get interested in being creative, period, then, and maybe reading Rhody had something to do with that, then great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all for it.
Well, obviously you sold out of your first book in Billings, like what, in a day or something?
I only brought three, so.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I brought a few. I didn't bring as many as I want to, but that's all I had left. So I wish I could say I brought 1,000, but I didn't. But I brought a few and they sold out. And yeah, that's all I could hope for. I was just plumb tickled. So.
Great. And are you planning to go to any more trade shows here in the near future?
Yeah, hopefully. Black Hills Stock Show is in Rapid City the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to get into that one. I've never done that one before. I applied last year and they denied me. But maybe this year, though. Maybe if I put it out there, maybe someone will hear this. And so this is going to you, Black Hills Stock Show, Rapid City. This year, Road to the Ranch, Doug, get me a booth. No, I applied, so I haven't heard anything, but that's a big show, and I go to that anyway, whether I'm selling anything or not. It's just mm-hmm. a great show. Western Trade Show in Gillette, mid-February, 13th to the 15th. I plan on being there. That's usually a good show. Other than that, that's about all I have as far as shows go.
Mm. Have you done any book signings anywhere? Or are your books in stores, or can you just order them on Amazon?
Yeah, they are. Should I name the stores? I don't want to make anybody mad.
no, you can.
Shipton's Big R in Billings.
Okay.
Both of their locations. I think they're going to have a third location that they're building, but Western Ranch Supply in Billings. Mm-hmm. There's a few in Valley County in Glasgow at the museum. There's some in Phillips County in Malta at the museum. God, I'm missing somebody. Murdoch's.
Oh, okay.
Murdoch's bought a bunch of books, and that was, that was really great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all great, but I'm just saying they had a lot of stores that, and Amazon. You can just go to Amazon and order them.
Yeah. Well, that's always handy, especially, you know, with holiday shopping and everything.
Yeah. Good stocking stuffers.
Yeah. I order most of my stuff on Amazon, so.
Good deal.
I'm a proponent.
Good.
Yeah. Well, good. Is there anywhere that people can kind of, do you have a website for Rhody the Ranch Dog where people can find you online?
Yeah, they can find me on Facebook. Rhody the Ranch Dog on Facebook. And Rhody has an Instagram account, and that's just Rhody the Ranch Dog as well.
Okay.
I don't have a site yet.
Okay.
But we're working on it. As you know, I'm not very technically advanced, I guess, let's say. And so I'm working on getting some help with the website. So
good. Well, all of those skills can be developed.
That's right. I'm working on it. I'm doing my best. I'm kind of a dinosaur.
There's hope for you yet, Scott.
I have nieces and nephews. They'll hook me right up. They'll build me a website in 3 seconds.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good. Well, perfect. That's awesome. I hope that people can go find your book on Amazon and buy it for their kids and grandkids and nieces and nephews. My niece is getting a copy for Christmas. So she's only one, but you know, I got to get her started early.
Sure, yeah.
Her dad can read it to her at night.
There you go. Sounds good. I'll get you that first copy too sent out since I was sold out when you were there.
Yeah, so. That would be great. I'd love to have that. Right. So Scott, I just have one final question for you today. This is the last question I always ask in my interviews. And you can kind of relate it to dogs if you want. That is, what do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have?
Kindness. My grandpa and my dad both, I mean, they're real cowboys. And they one thing I always noticed, they had humongous hearts. And they were kind to children, and they were kind to animals, especially their dogs. And I just always remember watching, you know, how you always just kind of watch your grandpa or your dad and don't think they notice you. And I just remember watching how kind they were to their animals. So it always made me have an appreciation for animals and dogs and just know that, oh, I don't know. It sounds lame. Dogs are people too, I guess. I don't know. Don't quote that. In fact, you could probably race over that. But, you know, they're just, you know, down there scratching his ears or petting his head and, you know, just having a moment saying, hey, I appreciate you and, you're a good dog. And so kindness, I think is an important, quality to have, I think.
Yeah. So. I would agree with that. And you know, what's funny is when it comes to ranching folks, they can be so hard, you know, sure. Like they're tough guys. They're cowboys. Right. They're, you know, kind of rough around the edges. But they do have, so many of them have such a tender heart, especially for animals, like you said.
Yeah. So. Especially if your son's not looking. I mean, you know, they're they can be so soft, I guess is right. The thing, you know, if nobody's looking, they can just be so tender but you know, so anyway, yeah, kindness for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Well, thank you, Scott. I really appreciate you being on today and best of luck with your roadie books. And
thank you so much. I'm glad we could get together and do this. And, you know, you're really opening my eyes to the technological world and creating all new avenues for me. And so appreciate it.
I'm glad to be able to help in whatever way I can.
You bet. Say hello to Montana for me. Miss it.
Will do.
All right.
It misses you.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. It likes me all the time.
Well, have a great weekend, Scott.
You as well. Thanks, Alyssa. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Scott Haynes, the creator of the Rodie the Ranch Dog series. If you're interested in picking up a copy of the book, be sure to visit the show notes for this episode at earnyourspurs.com/episode17. If you're on the hunt for any additional unique gifts, you can also check out the store at earnyourspurs.com where I have some t-shirts and sweatshirts and tank tops and different merchandise available. As always, thank you so much for listening in, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.